I'm very pleased to have in the studio Cindy Skruckroot, is the clean water advocate for the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club. You might remember Cindy when we did our broadcast out in McHenry. Also Andrew Armstrong, who's with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Let's crank those mics up. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Mike.
I'm going to now bring in Lauren Schaub. Lauren, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike.
Great to have you on the program. Lauren is with the Madewin Heritage Association, and so we've got our crew here in the studio. And it's interesting that Kaida was talking about construction of 41. That's sort of a segue into what our discussion here today, which is there are folks who would love to have some construction in Will County, stretching from somewhere around Joliet to where on the Indiana side? Wait, I had this here to Lowell, Indiana, and connect I-55 to I-65 near Lowell. And, you know, if you go to the and I've got this information on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. And if you go to the IDOT website, they talk about the big signing legislation June 9th of 2010 to get this thing rolling. And it has been moving, and it would be a tollway that both states want to have. Governor Quinn is apparently very enamored of this project. And all of a sudden, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but this year, three conservation organizations, Open Lands, Sierra Club, and Madewin Heritage Association, represented by the ELPC, filed a complaint about this. All right. Okay, let's start with you and Andrew, and tell us why this – give us a background on how – this all started and why you had to file a lawsuit this year.
Sure. So this project has been, as you said, moving pretty quickly as highway projects go. Although this project has been talked about for a while, the original conception of the Illiana Expressway was something that would go much further north of where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is 10 miles south of urbanized area of existing suburban development, and happens to be right along the southern border of the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie.
Well, let me stop you right there. All right. That is something that I was not aware of. So there was a change in plans here. So originally it should. And when did these plans change and why?
Well, this project has been talked about since I'd say the second half of the last decade. And the idea of the Illiana Expressway would be an east-west connector, mm-hmm. that would... the original conception was a connector that would take some pressure off of the existing I-80, which has had some congestion in recent years. And the idea would be that if we built another east-west connector, we could have trucks and cars moving along that. Now, the problem is that in the original conception, as I said, it was further north and closer to I-80, but just in the past few years, IDOT has looked at this alternative that is much further to the south and goes far, far away from where the existing communities are.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, well, it sounds like it's almost kind of like a bait and switch sort of thing. We're going to do this, but don't worry, it's going to be up in the in the developed corridor. And now we've moved it south. And what I'm assuming has happened here is that now it's getting into sensitive environmental areas. And I know that you're concerned with, well, not just places like Madewin, but loss of farmland as well, and rivers and streams in the area, Cindy?
Yeah, so it's, you know, one of the main problems with the spot that IDOT and Illinois Department of Transportation have picked for the road is, as Andrew said, it's 10 miles south of the edge of the urban area. And so at the time when our regional planning agencies are saying that we should be investing in existing communities, investing in existing infrastructure, they're planning this road that would be out in going out through farms, cutting through, farms that have been in people's hands for same family hands mm-hmm. for, 100 years. It would cross the Kankakee River, which is probably the highest quality river left in northeastern Illinois. It's the most like it was before we started, putting pollution into rivers and stuff. It has a thriving fish and mussel population. Certainly a road across the Kankakee River is going to impact that habitat. You'll have salt spray going into the river. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to be building this road so far from the Chicago metropolitan area.
So you're suggesting, Cindy, that this route should be further north, but is it more highly congested, and so would there be more homes displaced and things like that, or is there an alternate?
We're saying that this road where it's proposed is not needed.
It's not needed. Yes. So really we're better off if we invest those dollars, put those jobs, because it's probably what Quinn's motto, as all politicians, jobs, jobs, jobs. So really reinvesting back in the infrastructure that we already have, the bridges that we know have problems, the roads that we know that have potholes. So putting those dollars, those jobs, those resources towards that, as opposed to constructing an entirely new road. That's your proposal.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to Lauren here, because obviously this is going to have some effect on the Madewin natural tall grass prairie. I suspect so. Otherwise, you wouldn't be involved in this lawsuit. Go ahead, Lauren.
That's absolutely right, Mike. The Madewin Heritage Association is a Friends of organization, and we support activities at Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie, primarily the ones that have to do with the natural and cultural heritage of that area. And as such, we were offered the opportunity by the Illiana Planners to become a Section 106 National Historic Preservation Act consulting party. We recently received, or within the last 2 weeks, we received the report that the Illiana Planners had been working on for some months. And in that report, they identified some 570 properties along that 47-mile proposed toll road route. And those properties were located within the actual corridor where they're planning on putting the road that's about 2,000 feet wide. And then there was an additional mile on either side of that they looked at, which is an area called the Area of Potential Effect. Now, the Illiana Planners concluded that out of all those properties, there is only one that would be impacted within the criteria of the National Historic Preservation Act, which goes back into the 1960s. The many historic farmsteads along the route didn't make the cut. The agricultural land, which will be taken out of production, didn't make the cut. The centennial farms along the route didn't make the cut. The only property is historic alternate Route 66, and that road from Joliet down to Wilmington was placed on the National Register of Historic Places back in 2006, and it is the current Route 53, which runs right through the middle of Madewin. Now, alternate Route 66 between Joliet and Wilmington is on the National Register of Historic Places. About 2,000 feet, however, or 2,000 feet will be altered to accommodate an interchange between Route 53 and the proposed Illiana if they continue with the plans that they currently have. And this would take place at River Road where it crosses Route 53. And that would alter substantially the appearance and character of that historic place. Truck traffic along historic alternate Route 66 will be greatly increased if the interchange is located on the proposed Illiana, providing access off and on to Route 53. The impact will extend north along the entire length of 66A as it passes through Madewin and by the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. This increased noise levels on historic Route 66 will impact negatively on the wildlife and the visitors at Madewin, including at the Madewin Welcome Center, which is right on Route 53. Increased truck traffic on historic alternate Route 66 will impact negatively on those traveling to and entering the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. Now, I'm a U.S. Army veteran, a member of the American Legion, and when I die, I will be buried at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery with my fellow servicemen and women. That 982-acre cemetery was carved out of the old Joliet Arsenal land, as was Madewa National Tall Grass Prairie, and is the second largest national cemetery in our nation. Congressman George Sangmeister, a Korean War veteran himself, was instrumental in establishing the cemetery, as well as Madewa, and is buried there. And so is also a soldier from our Civil War, who was a Medal of Honor recipient. Now, on a personal note, I was at the opening day ceremony of the cemetery back in October of 1999, along with representatives of many service organizations, such as the VFW and the American Legion, Disabled American Veterans, as well as others. When fully developed, that cemetery will have some 400,000 burial spaces. That's 400,000 burial spaces. And I frequently return there, attending the full military honor funerals of friends and for the moving memorial ceremonies that are done by the cemetery staff for soldiers that do not have family members that, that can attend the ceremonies. On Memorial Day back in 2010, President Obama returned to Illinois and spoke at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery paying tributes to our veterans. And recently, again on a personal note, I was out with hundreds of other volunteers on Memorial Day where we placed some 25,000 flags across the cemetery, one for each grave. As many as 35 burials a day take place there, during which time the flag, the main flag, the American flag, is lowered to half staff in respect to those being laid to rest. The National Cemetery Administration's goal is to honor veterans with a final resting place in national shrines, and that's what that cemetery is considered, and with lasting tributes to commemorate their service to our nation. And the National Cemetery staff, in some of their literature, says that they hope visitors will find peace amid these quiet and beautiful grounds, and that they pledge to honor the dignity and memory of those buried there. Yet getting to that national shrine requires the funeral procession to navigate down Route 53, or up 53, historic Route 66, amid a continuous stream of trucks. There is also...
Are you saying that's now, or if they build this tollway?
There is a problem today, and there will be an increased problem if they build.
So it's only going to make it worse.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. There's a
railroad crossing right at the cemetery's entrance, and because of that, that can lead to a halted procession of sometimes 15 to 20 cars in a lane that's typically being traversed by trucks traveling at 55 miles an hour. It's just an accident waiting to happen.
Well, you know, we. This is sort of the playbook of how these things go down. It's that you take and less because we have so much less open area in the country anymore. But it seems to me that you get an area that, and the reason they're doing this is, well, it's just farms and we can knock out this tollway very easily. And it's going to be cheaper than, if we do it through subdivisions and that sort of thing. The problem is we don't have this land. Once it's gone, it's gone. And it would seem a shame that you spend this time and energy and money on something called the Madewa National Tallgrass Prairie that just got going in 97, and then right away turn around and subject it to the traffic and the pollution and everything that goes with it. Let me read something that Openlands President and CEO Jerry Adelman said, which I think is a very interesting quote, because he's a pretty mild-mannered guy.
Yeah.
All right. and he's been on the show, and, you know, he speaks very carefully. He does. And he said, building an astronomically expensive tollway with no demonstrated need and with extreme environmental and cultural impact is foolhardy. Openlands does not enter into lawsuits without extensive research and contemplation. We feel an obligation to raise concerns about this project, which is poorly planned and being pushed forward too quickly. The region has real transportation needs that are being addressed by the thoughtful, inclusive work of regional planning agencies, but this proposed tollway conflicts with these plans. That's pretty straightforward stuff.
Yeah. Right, right. And one important thing that Jerry noted is that there are regional transportation organizations in the state of Illinois that are supposed to be looking at what the appropriate projects are. And for the Chicago metropolitan area, we have the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning.
Or CMAP.
CMAP, as right. it's referred to. And the really interesting thing in this case is that CMAP, in its long-range vision for the Chicago Metropolitan Agency, which they call, sorry, the Chicago Metropolitan Area, which they call Go To 2040, has a vision for Chicago's region that involves an end of sprawl and the development of existing communities and really sustainable transportation and land use policies.
So where did this come from?
Well, that's a good question because...
Well, apparently the Federal Highway Administration was involved in this, and IDOT and Indiana DOT were involved in this. And they and one of the things you guys are fighting in court is the environmental study that they did. Do you feel it was inadequate?
Yes, yes, Mike. And one big reason is that CMAP and its counterpart in Indiana put together their own population and employment forecasts for the Chicago region in conjunction with these sustainable transportation and land use plans. And IDOT basically threw them out the window when they started planning this highway. IDOT said, CMAP, your policies, as good as they may be, we're going to disregard them when we look at what the population is going to look at in 2040, which is kind of the planning date they use for these types of projects.
In fact, they have the go to 2040.
Exactly.
Plan. Yeah.
Exactly. So IDOT said, we believe that sprawl is going to continue all the way out to the very edges of the Chicago exurbs like it did in the 20th century. Sprawl is just going to continue on like it has in past years. And the problem is that's inconsistent with CMAP's plans. It's inconsistent with reality.
So IDOT is using different population forecasts than CMAP, to using that to justify the road, while CMAP is saying, no, that's not what our vision, our collective vision for this region is. We want to be investing in existing communities. We want to be putting our transportation money into maintaining and revitalizing our existing transportation infrastructure.
Now, this cannot go forward, however, unless CMAP approves of it. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And now, under what law? What are we talking about?
This is under federal transportation laws.
Mm-hmm. And CMAP, the staff just did a study, looked at it, and said, we got a lot of problems with this issue, with this tollway. And so they're going back to IDOT and the Indiana counterpart and saying, well, right now what they're having is a period where people can make comment. And that is through, like,
September 3rd.
September 3rd. And I've got the links on my page, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, where you can go to CMAP. You go to the CMAP website, and on the home page, it'll tell you how to comment on this. Now, there's so much here. We're not going to be able to get into all of it. But one of the problems is IDOT says it's going to cost something, and CMAP did a study and said, you're the only place in the country that has that thinks it's going to be this low, where we've seen anything like this that is going to be as low as you say it is. And IDOT also says, don't worry, it's going to be a private-public collaboration. And I got this, there's a smell in the air right now.
Right, I'm sitting here looking just...
As an Illinois taxpayer, I'm thinking, I know who's going to end up holding the bag on this. It's going to be me.
Right. And this is one example of how this project is moving too quickly. IDOT has estimated this project is going to cost $1.25 billion. And Mike, like you said, CMAP looked at different projects around the country and said, we can't find a project that's got such a low cost per lane mile. And that's a real problem because we don't know how this road is going to be paid for.
Yeah, and we don't know, they say it's going to be a public-private partnership. It'll be a toll road. We don't know what the tolls would cost. So there's a real fear that it won't be able to pay for itself. And as you say, the public will end up holding the bag.
And I don't have the exact quote, but I believe CMAP said something like, there's no free lunch, meaning that...
They said
somebody's going to need to pay.
That no matter, even if you have this partnership with the private companies, What are they going to want in return?
Yeah.
All right. How many are we going to have another 75-year lease where they're getting the toll fees? Are we going to sell our souls to some private company just because they put money up front?
And then if it's so expensive, people won't want to drive on it, which just compounds the problem.
And then you have this big open freeway that nobody uses in the middle of sensitive lands and farms that did not need to be destroyed.
That's right. And that's actually one of the more dangerous financing concepts they're talking about would be an availability payment model where the state of Illinois would be on the hook for making regular payments to whatever company builds and operates this. And this is where the population forecast could tie in, because if nobody's going to be using this road, there's no tolling revenue coming in. All the revenue is going to be coming in from state taxpayers, and it's going to be paid to this private company to build and operate a road that we didn't need and, in fact, destroys important natural resources.
And I saw, so I did a little searching on it and found an article, and it quotes a Will County board member, Jim Moustis or Moustis, and he says this about CMAP. He says, they don't have Will County's interests at heart. Never have, probably never will. We should understand that. So he's one of these, let's build it. Let's build it because it's going to bring money to our area, and you know, let's go.
And we're not saying that we shouldn't be investing transportation dollars in Will County. We totally agree that we need to be, you know, working on roads that have problems in the county, maintaining those roads, but that it's a better for us to invest in that existing infrastructure than to build this road way out in nowhere.
Right, so it's the shiny new penny. Let's not just follow the shiny new penny, but let's actually sit and think about and spend our dollars wisely where we need to on the broken things or the things that have a shelf life. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people don't stop to think is that, you know, you have to continue to maintain, whether it's a building or your car or whether it's the public transportation system. You have to continue to invest dollars. You can't just build it and we're done. But yeah, it sounds like shiny new penny to me.
And in the studio, we have Cindy Skruckrud, Clean Water Advocate, Illinois Chapter of the Sierra Club, Andrew Armstrong of the ELPC, which is the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and Lauren Schaub from the Madewin Heritage Association. We have just a couple of minutes left in this. I'm a little... Okay, I get to be radio guy here because, you know, you guys have to be a little more cautious about the things you say. I'm just unhappy with the governor getting so gung-ho about this, especially in light of the fact that he's been so hands-off at Starved Rock State Park, where we're going to have some of the same issues, which is, you know, the trucks coming down with the frack sand blowing in the wind and the disturbance to that great natural resource. It's surprising to me. He's supposed to be the environmental governor, and I wish he would act like it a little more. Now that's me. That's, you know, talking about this. I know we got a couple of calls. Rob, can I get your who do you think we should go to here? Okay, let's do that. We're going to go to the phones and Ted in Melrose Park. Good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning. Now you got my attention again. You mentioned the toll road, and I'm the guy that passed the legislation to have the toll road go on in perpetuity, if that's the right word. I spent 18 years in the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about here should die today.
Why is that?
I went to the state fair,
yeah,
down 55. Got all jammed up with the traffic with the bridge going, being replaced. I will let you know that my mother and father, stepfather, are in Abraham Lincoln Cemetery, and I will do what I can to stick a pin in this whole idea that they want to build yet another expressway. We're paving over the world.
Yeah, you know, and that's really, Ted, that says it all. That's something that... I'm so glad you said it and didn't make me say it, because that's the way I feel. It's like, do we have to have a tollway on every single square inch of America? Is that
absolutely
really necessary? You know, and next we'll be filling in the Grand Canyon because, boy, it's going to be a really quick route to get across to Las Vegas.
We're hiding water in people's basements in Chicago and Orland Park. Orland Park never flooded like it did this last go around. We just have to open up the ground and let the water run in.
Absolutely. These things are all related.
Permeable concrete instead of asphalt and concrete the way they're pouring that bridge now. So I will back out, hang up, and listen, but I'm going to get my people to go down and put some signs up in that traffic that's going southbound. Thanks very much for the clues. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Ted. Let's go to line four. Let's bring in Bernie in Indiana. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yeah, let's talk about the silliness of this all. They want to grind up farmland, which right now is going up about 25% a year. It was in the other Tribune, Chicago Tribune. But now in today's Hammond times, they're turning Gary, Indiana, they have so much vacant land, into farmland. They want to return it back to farmland. It's insane.
You're saying, of course, why don't we just keep the farmland we have?
Absolutely. I mean, the thing of it is why create more, like this other man said, more concrete when we've got all this vacant land in Gary that, I mean, it's silly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your comments, Bernie.
One more thing,
sure.
Mike.
Yeah.
In Friday's the Porter County thing, check out how Enbridge is going to put all these safety things in for their oil pipeline. They're going to monitor in Canada if there's any low pressure, and they can react to it, and they've got all these new ideas on how to clean up the rivers.
And you think they're going to work?
Silly. In Canada, they're going to have a low... It's insane. If you can pull it up on the Internet...
I don't trust Enbridge, but I'll take a look at it. Okay, thanks for calling, Bernie. We have just a couple minutes here. I noticed you guys were a pow-wowing over there. What's going on?
Well, this is Cindy. I just want to make sure that folks are aware that Sierra Club's got an action alert up that's an easy way for you to send an email to CMAP to tell them, no, don't include Ileana in the go-to 2040 plan. And so that's up on our website and on our Facebook page, and I think we're going to link it up on
now,
your page.
Have you gotten on the Facebook?
2 minutes ago.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously. It's 10:39.
What the hell is wrong with Facebook?
It said I was trying too often. I think because you were on, I was trying to get on these two computers. If Rob was trying to get on, it didn't like the fact that all of us were trying.
I'm annoyed. Okay, well, put it up
I'll
there.
I'll do some catching up here,
put a
folks.
Link to the action alert from the Sierra Club. That's obviously a good way for people to get involved.
Yeah, easy, simple way for people to send an email to CMAP. So that would be great. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, or you can go to the CMAP site, and they have the information there. Lauren, have you got any final words?
Well, just one comment here with regards to, you know, the purpose of the Ileana, as stated by the planners, was to alleviate some local transportation problems. And unfortunately, what they're doing is going to create problems. So, and create problems that are going to impact for the long, long haul. So,
yeah. Well, you know, once it's built, you can't unbuild it. That's the problem.
Exactly.
And so if you're going to build it, you don't rush it through. You let everybody talk about it. You get everybody on board. You get why have a CMAP if you're not going to listen to them? Okay.
Exactly.
Why don't we just ban it? We don't, you know what? Oh, it's so silly of us. Planning for the future. Oh gosh. That's crazy talk. You know, you people are naive. Why are you doing that? I know. It's kind of the way I feel. So I want to thank you all for being in the studio today. Cindy Skruckrud from the Illinois Sierra Club, Andrew Armstrong from ELPC, and I know this could go on forever. Lauren Schaub from Medewin Heritage Association. What we're going to do is we're going to pay attention to this. And Cindy, I know you're always in touch, and I appreciate that.
Thanks. It's so important for people to be putting in comments through September 3rd.
And that's the point. Yeah, you've got a couple of weeks here.
Yep.
Make your comments. Make yourself heard. Maybe somebody will be listening there and do the right thing for a change.
Appreciate you having us on today, Mike. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much, Mike.
All righty.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, Lauren, you have a good Sunday, okay?
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And we'll talk, Andrew and Cindy, we'll talk again real soon.